This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
What's up and welcome back to the Kind of Funny Screencast. Of course, I am Tim Geddes, making a rare appearance on the show. It's the one and only Blessing at AOEA Jr.
It's me, what up?
We got the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
That's kind of like a rare appearance for me, too.
I guess that's true these days.
Yeah.
These days. And rounding out the group, we got the Big Daddy himself, Greg Miller.
Rare appearance for me, too.
That's true.
But it's you and some MCU idiot you found on the internet.
Exactly. I guess you were on Loki. Twice this season.
Yeah, I guess I did Loki. Back in the day, I did Last of Us.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, that was this year.
Loss. Yeah. My life's pulled together. I look like I'm good. Of course, we had to get Greg on this because Invincible. I would say that you are the biggest Invincible fan
in the world.
I would put my hand down.
You know, there's the people who run an Invincible podcast. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, like, at least, okay, you're the biggest Invincible fan in my world. You know what I mean?
I appreciate that.
Like, definitely no one has put more people on to this franchise than Greg Miller. They're trying their hardest over there at Amazon.
They're doing it.
We were in L.A. recently, and I saw a big-ass billboard for Invincible, and I was like, damn.
Can you believe it?
We made it.
That's cool.
That's really, really, really
cool. Only problem is everybody's looking at their phones while they're driving.
They're not going
to see the billboards.
Yeah.
But the pilots.
Hey, look down there.
This one's for the pilots.
We're flying too low, sir.
Of course, this is the Kind of Funny Screencast where each and every week we get together to talk about the latest in TV, movies, and trailers. We've been doing a lot of episode-by-episode breakdowns of the latest Star Wars shows and Marvel shows, but Invincible is something very kind of core to the Kind of Funny ethos, I would say. As long as Kind of Funny has been around, we've been talking about Invincible, and the fact that there's an amazing show out now on Amazon you can watch is pretty damn cool. So of course we had to return to talk about it, even though our schedules have been crazy, which is why here we are talking about episodes 1, 2, and 3 of season 2 so far. Our thoughts on everything, of course. You can get this on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com as a video. You can get it as a podcast by searching your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Screencast, and we'll be right there for you. Or you can go above and beyond, go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like our Patreon producers James Hastings, Casey Andrew, and Nathan Lamoth have done. They don't need to hear the ads. They get the shows ad-free. They get a bunch of bonus content. It's great for everybody. Today, we're brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, but I'll tell you about that later. Greg Miller, what's up?
My question is, I forget. It's been a long time since I've been on an Invincible screencast. Are we just spoiling these first three episodes of season 2? Not talking about things going forward. Thank you.
No spoilers going forward for the people that know what's happening, because I've read the comics. Greg has read the comics. These two beautiful boys have not read the comic.
Don't have a clue.
I've never read a comic in my life.
I was offered the chance to read it, and I said, I feel like they're going to make a show about this in 11 years. So I didn't read it.
Yeah. For me, I was driving the other day. I was like, I actually read Invincible when I get home. I'm pretty sure I have Invincible. Then I went to my bookshelf. It was Watchmen.
Oh. Yeah. So yellow font, the yellow kind of.
Did you read Watchmen?
Think it was Invincible?
I didn't read Watchmen either. No. I got it for Christmas. I was like, I'll get around to this.
Andy, we have the omnibus at our apartment if you ever want.
Omnibus.
Oof. So much going on. There's a lot going on.
So yeah, the idea here is we will keep everything spoiler-free at the top. We'll just give our spoiler-free impressions of what we're thinking so far, and then we'll make it clear. We're getting into spoiler talk, and we're going to talk about everything we've seen so far in episodes 1, 2, and 3. But keeping it top-level spoiler-free, Greg Miller, what are you thinking of season 2 so far?
Loving it. They again continue to kill this adaptation. You know, I think that you jump back to a famous Kind of Funny moment when we were on the morning show and they announced the movie, and I flipped out and I screamed and I made a whole rant to Seth Rogen about, do not fuck this up, don't fuck this movie up, and he was nice enough to respond on Twitter, we won't fuck it up. It became the show, obviously, right? And I know there's still the movie kind of in the works.
No, it's happening.
Yeah. But it's like not cast and not filming.
No. But like last I heard, and I looked into this fairly recently, especially due to the success of the movie, same team being involved, Seth Rogen and all them producing it, and it was in a lot of pre-production, like to the point of almost being in production.
Okay.
But then strikes and everything else that happens. So I think that they're back on track to like start actually moving forward.
Chris Pratt is playing Mark's mom.
As Seth
Rogen is playing Donkey Kong.
He's in here. They continue not to fuck up this series, though. They continue to do it justice, to make changes that I think are actually for the betterment of the product, and keep me on my toes.
Blessing.
Yeah, I'm continually impressed by how this, as an animation, keeps me engaged as if I was watching a live-action show. Like, the fact that they're able to hold on, like, a 45 minutes for an episode and have me engaged throughout, but then also have me, like, sitting on the edge of my seat for the reveals. The final reveal of episode 3, legitimately, like, me not knowing what's about to happen, had me like, oh, shit, I did not see that coming, right? And I feel like I'm getting that episode per episode. The animation stepped up, which is huge. You know, I know that was a big talking point for season 1 and season 2. I've had zero complaints about how it looks. You know, I think the action's really fun. I think the amount of subject matter that we're getting in Invincible, where I feel like it almost is the greatest hits of all the superhero stuff we have now, right? Because, like, we have plenty of superhero content about grief, whether it's WandaVision or whether it's, like, a lot of post-endgame Marvel stuff, right? Like, grief is everywhere. But I think the way that they're tackling it in Invincible feels genuine. It feels pretty cool. We have, like, you know, timeline stuff everywhere. We have different dimension stuff everywhere. Like, a lot of what Invincible is doing now feels like a greatest hits of what we're seeing all over the superhero world, and knowing that it's based off the comic, right? That makes me think that the Invincible comic was just ahead of its time and the way it was doing it.
100%.
But seeing it tackle all of those same things, but do it in a way that I think is clean, interesting, engaging, and has me, again, on the edge of my seat for all the reveals and what's happening. Like, I'm having a great time this season.
Andy.
Having an equally good time. I initially thought that the multiversal thing that happened in episode 1, because after episode 1 aired, the next day we came into work, and I was like, Tim, was that like a red herring? Like, were they just like, just kidding, we're not doing multiversal stuff. That's just like, that was just us making you think we were changing kind of the direction of this story. I'm having a good time with it. I still have my issues with the animation and art style, and I know a lot of it is wanting to stay true to the accuracy of how the comics look, going for the line art with the, you know, simple one shader or whatever, and I have no problem with the animation or the movements. I think all the fight scenes are still very interesting and visually cool to watch. But after watching some of Scott Pilgrim over the weekend, I know very, very different art styles, but I just kind of wish we had a bit more like contrast and like shadows and stuff. But that's very, very, getting very nitpicky. I'm still really enjoying the cast. I'm enjoying the story and seeing where it's going. Yeah, I'm still super into it. I do think that Kirkman said that episodes 4 and 8 are like especially insane. We'll see how that goes. Nothing can compare to me finishing episode 1 of season 1 of Invincible and having that feeling with the credits hit. You're like, what the fuck is about to happen in this show? Having that existential dread the whole time of Invincible season 1, I thought was so key to that series, where every episode there are more and more clues as to, oh shit, Mark's mom figuring out what Omni-Man really is up to. And I enjoyed those little teases happening throughout. This is still keeping me interested, though, even though I feel like that big storyline of season 1 is largely done and we're kind of treading into new territory with new characters. I'm still interested. I'm still digging the hell out of it.
Timothy?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm so in love with this show. And it's crazy because I read through the entire comic many, many years ago and loved it. And
you
remember
how it ends?
No.
I remember feeling a lot of what
I'm
feeling.
Let's just say you already know one of the final lines.
Invincible.
Yeah. I feel like I'm experiencing a lot now watching the show of what I did reading through it the first time, which is an amazing sense of like, how are they doing this much so well and keeping me this engaged with this much new shit being thrown at you? And it's because we do have an understanding of the language of superheroes now that is like at this point we're kind of experts in it all. Like, we really, really understand it. But it's so impressive that the comic did this back then. Like, it's a pretty by the book adaptation of it all.
Yeah.
Like, changes or like updates, but like, it, the comic this soon was this crazy.
And that was the thing, you know, it's like a snake eating his tail thing where, you know, Matt Kim from IGN, when they announced or talking about season 2 finally or whatever, they're like, oh yeah, multiverse is gonna be a part of it. And he's like, oh man, I'm sick of everybody. And I jumped in and did the, well, actually Invincible was ahead of its time. And we had a funny exchange about it, but it is crazy, like, the things Robert Kirkman and Invincible were doing back in 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, wherever it was. They're like so common. That's what cinema is right now for superheroes, right?
Yeah, and but it's just so impressive that, I mean, you know, season two, episode one of this show, and but then also just the book this quickly too. It's like, yeah, we're getting into multiverse because that it is a universe of superheroes that we expect that to get there. They're just like, let's get there. Let's also get 10 million other things. Here's a team. Here's a sub team. Here's the new version of that team. Here's the second version of this character. Like, you know, like treating things like we expect superhero things to go.
But every new scene, checking that sort of prime X-ray and seeing, oh, that's that
actor. It's that person. Oh, it's that person. I mean, dude, the voice cast is so stacked, and they're not phoning it in. It's like, it's so impressive to hear so many amazing stars, amazing talents, like voice characters, and really feel like they're giving their all and like trying to. You said it feels like it's an animated show, but because the duration of it, because the subject matter, it feels like you're watching like a more like HBO style show.
Yeah, yeah. Like a live action drama.
Exactly. And it feels like they're acting that way, and they're treating it as if that it matters that way. And like you bringing up Scott Pilgrim, I think that's another great example right now of that happening as well, where it's like, damn, how do you have this cast for this? It's so crazy. And then you compare that to something like What If, where it's like,
yeah,
hey, they got, you know, Sebastian Stan, but like, yeah, it feels like lesser than it, as opposed
no
to
Sterling
like
K. Brown
adding
out to there
it.
And crushing
exactly,
it.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like, it's comforting also knowing that this is going, you know, beat for beat adaptation of the comics, because if it wasn't, I would be like, man, I feel like I am one superhero show away from superhero fatigue, in the way that, yeah, it does feel like it's juggling a lot of stuff that has already been done. And I could see, like, if it didn't go in a direction where it knew where it was landing, or it was trying to, like, you know, make its way towards some things. Watching this after watching both, you know, Gen V and Loki at the same time, and like also just watching all the stuff that I mentioned, like the fact that, yeah, you're having Invincible's mom like do the AA thing, right, and dealing with those emotions, which that scene was pretty cool too, but you're having the Engstrom Levy stuff, and like him
from here on out. Full spoilers.
Gotcha. Sorry, I thought we were already in the spoilers.
So these three episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Just these three.
So you're having Engstrom Levy do the thing, right? Where he walks into a room and there's a bunch of them. And like, you know, that was cool as hell. But also watching that scene, I was like, all right, cool. Like, I've seen this in Kang. Or I've seen this in, you know, Ant-Man, Quantumania.
But this
also
is how you do it good.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is like, I feel like they are doing it good. But if it was like, if I didn't know it was going beat for beat by the comic, and the comic had a direction, I'd be like, all right, like, let's see if they're able to land this, because I've seen this a million times now.
That's why I thought it was initially a commentary on just kind of superhero, everything has to have a multiverse. And when the episode ends with that machine breaking, and I was like, oh, this is just going to be a story about this one dude enacting revenge. This is going to be a season about how can this person get revenge, because now this person is dealing with all of the memories and thoughts of the other selves, and feels a like multiplied amount of anger. Yeah. And like, this dude wants to kill Invincible for what happened to all the other selves of his or whatever. And I thought that is going to put the kibosh on like all the multiversal stuff there. Now this is just going to be a self-contained thing, but we're still getting hints here and there. So now I'm aware that it's not, it is very much going to deal with multiverse stuff. I think after rewatching season one of Invincible leading up to season two coming out, they do such a masterful job story-wise of like planting little story seeds here and there throughout the whole season. And it may just be a tiny little thing, and then you get a moment where you're like, oh, what's that all about? Anyway, back to the A, B, and C plots that are actually happening. But you'll remember that in seven episodes. And you'll remember this from season one now that we're watching season two. They're so good at that.
And to clue you in on what I'm sure you assume, like, that comic was the exact same way.
Yeah.
The comic would do these little teases and you wouldn't see it for months, if not a year, if not more. And if I had any critique of the show versus the comic, right, it would be the fact that the cliffhanger you're left on at episode three, right, the reveal of course, Omni-Man being there, whatever, feels so short compared to being in the comics. Because in the comics, you know, you're waiting an issue every month, right? And so I was trying to do the research here real quick, and I think I might be a little bit wrong, might be right, though. I want to say it was like, it might have been volume three is where we last saw Omni-Man, and then we didn't see him till volume six, which is a lot of issues of a comic, right? And I remember that turn of that page.
Do you know
what
time frame wise?
No. I mean, I have to look all that up and find it for you. They don't do it like episodes of TV. Wikipedia should have every issue of the comic telling me what's going on. They don't.
Good idea.
But I mean, dude, that reveal, it's been long enough that like once we saw the kind of fish guy, I was like, oh, I remember where this ends, but like I didn't remember it happening that quickly.
Yeah.
So when it hit, I was like, oh shit, like what a powerful end. And like they just can do that. And even we were talking about this a little bit, but the Alan, the alien little bit.
Oh, where him getting like, the shit like kicked out of him. So him. Beautiful.
Dude, yeah.
Just that, like that, that's just from his girlfriend's perspective design, and like, just the music playing over it.
So good, but very, very weird. I don't know, like when the episode just ends and like the credits hit, like it felt like they were trying to do something and it didn't really work. Yeah,
legitimately, I was like, oh, this went by way faster than I thought it would. Like it was this episode short and I checked the timeline. I'm like, oh no, I'm halfway. Is this usually how it is? And I let it keep going. I'm like, okay, this post credits is going long. Okay, it's just the rest of the episode. Like, what a weird way to format it.
I thought it was mainly done that way because they gave him a separate introduction. They gave him the Alan the Alien version of the Invincible sort of title card, sure, where we saw his name, we saw his little thing there, and it's like, oh, this is an Alan episode, and then it ends. So I thought that was just kind of like an in joke way of saying like, all right, Alan's episode is over.
Yeah.
Let's go to.
I was getting ready to turn off my TV. I was legit like, all right, cool. I guess I'm done. I checked the timeline. I'm like, oh.
Back to Sea of Stars.
But yeah, besides that, I really, really enjoyed the amount of stuff we got there from the Alan part, but then also just the rest of that episode. Like, it just, it's so content filled and content rich where I feel like there's so many plots and character storylines going on that do have that kind of thing of like the Mars storyline from season one that I remember talking to you, Andy, and you being like, I don't know, this episode kind of felt random, like it didn't fit. And now you see it all, yeah. You're like, oh my God, like they built that and it totally makes sense in the way that this guy's acting. And now, and it's fucking bench sports.
The seed is growing, him. The seed is growing. It's bearing fruit on the loom. That's a inside joke from us, from our multiverse that you'll have to understand from a different show.
Hope you can figure it out.
I was going to say, shout out to J.K. Simmons for like coming back here. We know he's going to kill it. He was also in Baldur's Gate 3, and he was awesome in that. He's just really damn good at his job. And I don't know why I'm like, I respect actors more whenever they jump into the world of video games and other stuff and sound like they care.
Yeah,
and I shouldn't. Like everybody wants to do a good job and deliver a good performance, but to just see to listen to these lines and they seem so effortless, and this is just like breathing to him, is being an awesome character with an awesome voice with great delivery. The whole cast is great. You're right though.
Peter Cullen.
Optimus
Prime.
Yeah, that was a neat little
pop. I need
y'all
to understand the sound that I made when I heard this man's voice. Like, I had to, I mean, of course I knew it was him. I didn't even need to, like, look at the x-ray thing. But I had to pause just to tell Gia, like, do you know who that is? And she was like, I have not the
absolutely not
clue. And I'm like, it's Optimus Prime. And I legit thought she was going to know.
What character was he playing?
The, like,
Thaddeus,
the Grandmaster, you type.
The guy who's like, talking to Alan in, like, the tube. He's, like, his
boss.
Oh,
gotcha.
And just the lines he was saying are so Optimus. It's just so, like, the all living creatures. I'm like, oh, this is the best fucking thing. She had no idea, though. I'm like, yeah, why would I expect you to know that? But then, like, other people pop up, and she, like, she recognized Tatiana Maslany immediately. And I'm like, how the hell do you know her voice?
Wait, who was she? I don't know who she was.
She was girlfriend of Alan.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. I love the guest section of the Wikipedia page, because the guest section is filled with actors upon actors.
Before we talk about that, let me give you a real quick word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. There's so much to be thankful for: family, friends, food, and NFL football all week long. DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping your Thanksgiving week full of action. New customers can bet just $5 on the NFL action to score $150 instantly in bonus bets. Looking ahead to Thanksgiving, you know the Lions are always playing next week, and they have Green Bay coming to town, and the Lions are currently 7.5-point favorites. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Kinda Funny. New customers can bet $5 on the NFL Thanksgiving action to score $150 instantly in bonus bets, only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, with code Kinda Funny. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY, which is 467-369. In West Virginia, you can visit www.1800gambler.net. Please play responsibly. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. You can call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, KS, must be 21 or older in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. You can see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Same thing for David Diggs, right? From Hamilton, dude, Thomas Thomas Jefferson. As soon as he opened his mouth, like, yeah, all right, cool, here we go. And like I already said, but Sterling K. Brown being Langstrom, who in Langstrom, I mean, Invincible is fantastic all the way through, but Langstrom, I think, has always been my favorite arc in terms of like a villain to match Mark and what happens and where they go. I always loved that.
So on that, I'm curious for Andy, like, at the start of the season where they start you off on the different timeline where Mark and his dad actually like take over everything, how that hit you? Because I was so fucking confused for like a good 10 minutes. I was like, did I miss something? Did I skip an episode? Like,
as somebody who didn't watch the Adam Eve standalone episode, I see it there and I'm like, that's an hour though. And like, I see it and trust me, I hover over it.
You think?
And I'm like, maybe
these lies of pee ain't gonna pee themselves.
and I thought maybe this was a thread from that show or this. And I had the same thought though. I was like, what the hell did I miss? Or is this a dream? Somebody's about to wake up. I had no idea either.
So on the Adam and Eve thing,
on the Adam and Eve thing, let me tell you about the Genesis.
Adam and Eve is where you buy like dildos.
Yeah. So when episode two, when that was coming out or after that was out, I was going to boot my TV up and watch that. And usually when I watch Invincible or anything on Amazon, I tell my voice assistant, I'm like, I won't say their name, but voice assistant, play Invincible. And
I don't know why I legitimately thought you had like a voice acting coach assistant. I was like,
I'm trying to get
what
better.
Is happening right now?
I'm trying to get on J.K. Simmons level. But I tell them to play Invincible, and this episode started. I'm like, all right, cool, new episode. And the Adam Eve pop-up happened, the title card. And I was like, oh, standalone episode. All right, that's ballsy for episode two, but cool, let's do it. I watched the entire episode, and I have an Invincible podcast I like to listen to. It's the Midnight Boys, where they recap a bunch of superhero stuff. Started listening to that episode, and they do a recap of what happens in the episode. And I started listening to their recap.
Like, that is not what happened.
And I was like, what the fuck are they talking about? I was like, oh, I had to pause real quick.
About
I was
to
like,
be the oh, angry shit. Commenter.
Yeah. It's like, what's going on? But yeah, I had the same thing where I was like, man, for episode one at the start, I was like, what's going on? And once I realized, and once they like, you know, make the full circle of, oh yeah, this is a different timeline situation. For me, who I'm starting to experience the multiverse fatigue real strong, that was a breath of fresh air because I was not expecting that. And the way they start off on such a dire note where, yeah, like the timeline where Mark teamed up with his dad is so fucked up. And like, you know, like it is him on the screen being like, hey, dude, like, you know, we're trying to help. We're doing this for you. Like, if you want to resist, we'll fuck you up. But hey, it's for your good. I'm like, dude, this is real. Like,
remember,
this is
you
crazy.
Did this to yourself by fighting back. Yeah. You destroyed your cities.
And that's why I love even more the little hints we get from all these other characters saying like a Viltrumite. Defied another Viltrumite? Like, this guy defied his own father? Like, Viltrumites don't fight each other. That's why I love the surprise in that, because it seems like a lot of other universes may have had the outcome of Mark and his dad teaming up to just destroy
everything.
I think
they implied that most universes have that outcome.
Yeah. Really,
it's
really
so cool.
Awesome.
Like, Greg, like, for you, I mean, you were talking about this a little bit, but I read the comic through once. Like, you've read it through. And I remember you used to say, like, before a new chapter would
the
come
old
out,
days.
You would like reread
every trade. I'd reread all but the way up to the new trade.
It's been a while, right?
And I'm down there playing games at night. I look over and I see them just all the gorgeous. I don't do the compendiums. I do the hardcover, you know, big ones, and I have them all laid out. And you go back and do a full reread.
What's a trade?
A trade is a trade paperback. Those they're the collection of comics, you know what I mean, that have like the soft front and back, right? That like, you know, you
it's like a magazine format more so than
I see.
A single
okay.
comic.
Okay, so it know? Contains multiples.
Yeah, yeah. I think I forget six if it's 4 to 12, 6, 4 depending. To 6 usually. Yeah, 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 depending.
Learn some about comics,
yeah,
learn
a lot.
What was that podcast?
But what are some of the like the changes that you've noticed?
You know, it's for me, always the littler things. It's the order of things that are different, right? Where, you know, them being in college and it not being about the dudes with the exploding chests and zombie bots and stuff that were more of it. And I'm sure we've had teases of that coming back, and we will. For me, I think the biggest change is where Adam Eve is. And remember how she did a whole thing in season one where she was like, I feel like I could be going and feeding and stopping famine and da-da-da-da. And she did that in the comics where she went to Africa and she set up a house there and she was just, you know, feeding people and doing all that stuff. So taking that and keeping it domestic and doing like the whole like Chicago being an incident, right? Like Omni-Man and Invincible kind of destroyed that place, like Metropolis and Batman versus Superman or any of a number of natural disasters. Or
Chicago and Transformers Dark of the Moon.
Oh, how could we forget? Having her go there and do a similar thing of like, well, you know me, fix it. I was like, oh, that's a nice change. And then I really love the blowback of it being her dad being like, you didn't fix shit. Like, you're an idiot. You're so still good. A stupid kid. I was like, damn, that's a fucking cool way to do that. I like that a lot. And so it's been nice to see that. You know, when we started the season, I was very much like, wait, does Amber know or does she not know? Because, again, we're playing a little bit with timelines from the comic to this. I was like, okay, she knows. That's great. I've enjoyed watching how they're playing with her relationship. Obviously, I mean, we've talked about it before, but I forgot about the Seance dog versus science dog yeah. thing. So when he showed up at the door, I was like, oh, right. Like, this is even a different way than how science dog showed up in the comics and stuff. It's they're little twists, the little tweaks like that, you know, again, like, him having to go to Atlantis or Atlantean or whatever the hell it was called. Right. And participate in the marriage ceremony. Like, if you remember in the comics, he was going there to marry somebody, and the way they got out of it, right, is that he got there and found out that there was another guy there who's already in love with her. And so he helped him look like a badass by beating that thing or whatever. So like little stuff like that's interesting enough. I think they're doing a great job with, not shapeshifter, shape. Well, he's got a name I can never keep straight ever. I'm enjoying how they're playing with him and all the interplay of like, I'm just a normal person.
Shape Smith
running in a normal on this. And like, they're doing a lot of little fun stuff like that a lot. I don't remember, and I'm rusty. I don't remember Duplicate and this conversation with Rex about like, I'm as old all the lives. I was like, oh, that's an interesting.
That sounds new to me.
That's an interesting way to spin why you'd be into this and what you're getting out of this situation. I'm enjoying that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was just more of a little kind of joke way to explain the age difference.
I didn't take it serious. I was very much like, oh, she's just trying to stick it to Rex Blood.
I think, yeah. And again, though, but I think even getting an eye into that relationship at all is interesting. I don't remember getting a lot of Duplicate talking about that. Stuff I wrote down from my notes, right, in terms of that, I thought what they're doing with Debbie is interesting. I really enjoyed the support group. That's not how it played in the comics. And again, I always say this is how they did it. They could still do it in future episodes, right? But she found a sympathetic ear in the tailor who made the superhero costumes. Because, of course, he had known, thank you very much.
Mark Hamill.
Exactly. He thought he knew Omni-Man so well as well. So they kind of had this shared thing. Her alcoholism, I thought, is way turned up in the comics, which is fine. I'm enjoying this look at her grieving a bit more. I really, really liked this aside of her talking to David, right, and being like this, and then as soon as she starts to confess, I'm like, oh, don't do that. Yeah, and then to get shut down and get thrown out, I thought that was really cool. And again, I don't ever remember her interacting with the Green Ghost's husband/boyfriend or whatever, like, or partner, so that was really good too. Those are the ones I jotted down that spoke to me. Otherwise, yeah, it's been like, did this happen here? Okay, yeah, it did. Okay, but, you know, our follow-up on that kind of thing.
Do we think that that was the last we'll see of this support group and that dude?
Probably, but I mean,
it felt like they were kind of like putting a bow at the end of that.
Yeah.
Whatever that little situation was.
I wouldn't throw it past them to have them cross paths just to throw her off when she's getting back up to speed on doing whatever and then have that happen. I think, I won't talk about what's to come.
Yeah.
I could see it as closure later on. Like, right now, her thread is very much, like, you know, grieving, getting over what just happened with Omni-Man. And, like, I think her fucking slamming the kitchen drawer.
That was awesome. Just break down, tearing apart the house.
Yeah, so I think, like, this is probably, like, her at her lowest. And I'm sure, like, once she starts that process of healing, when she gets there, I'm sure she'll run into David Diggs again. And he'll be like, hey, I'm sorry.
And that's what'll be interesting. Yeah,
no spoilers. Greg wants to spoil it.
So many things they could do here. One thing I loved seeing was the little pocket dimension situation of the Midnight City or whatever it was called.
Yeah, like, Darkwing 2.
Right.
Yeah. Oh my God. All that stuff. Like, it was so good. And like as I was watching it, I was like, oh my God, I remember reading this. Like,
yeah, right.
I remember
right.
how it looked. And like they just translated it so well. And like the Batman animated series, Red Skies, and like even just dealing with like essentially Batman and a Batman 2, like Robin becoming Batman, like all that stuff, I just thought was like so cool. And like it's awesome that because the tone of the show is so dialed in and they're allowed to quote unquote go there, it is fun that like they don't need to just like say fuck all the time for it to like mean something. It could just kind of be like a visual shift of how things are looking that really kind of all of a sudden like raises the stakes in terms of how much weird science and magic and all the superhero shit is going on. And like, yeah, this world universe exists and these characters deal with this shit. It's not weird to them, shouldn't be weird to you. Let's just go. So like they can like dive into the deeper version of what normally would be a conversation that took a season to get to a reveal. The reveal happens immediately.
In season one, did we have any of Paul F. Tompkins as the narrator? They drop that in here, which is literally, you know, word for word out of the comic when, you know, when they jump around get away from the sex scenes in the comic.
Mm.
Like, I thought when they dropped it, I was like, oh, that's a funny little callback. I was like, you haven't used him though before, right?
I don't remember.
Okay.
But I really liked it here.
Yeah, it worked really well.
Super
right?
fun.
Yeah. Alan's great. I love Alan. So like, Seth Rogen's doing a great job with him. You know what I mean? Andy wants to make fun of his Donkey Kong. he's crushing it here. I really enjoy his
like
portrayal.
Euphemism.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't think there's a single voice actor that I'm like.
Not that I'm not about it at all. What I find interesting, even after doing an entire season and interviewing the man about him. I went for Walton Goggins, right, to be Cecil.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds so much not like him, where I think he has such a distinctive voice. He's playing it so subdued, like how he talks. I think, granted, I'm thinking of like Righteous Gemstones, like, get your nerd ass shit away, boy. But I mean, like, I've heard him in other shows. Like, right. I remember him from Sons of Anarchy. I've seen him in other stuff that I liked him in a lot. And so, you know, I'm very excited for the Fallout show with him.
Oh my God! Yes.
How it's gonna be, who knows? But like, you know, like I really enjoy his Cecil a lot.
Yeah, and of course, the next Karate Kid, he was one of the
oh my
people God. That came down from the school gym in the swamp.
What have I told you, Buster? There were some people doing karate, and they sent in like SEAL Team 6 into this school. Like, it was this assault force.
Listen, you got to do what you got to do.
It was unbelievable.
They have drugs in there, like, you got to take them out.
Like, why are we escalating this right here?
Shout out to the scene where what are the underwater people called? Is that like Atlanteans?
Yeah,
that scene where Cecil sent him down to like go and like, you know, marry the princess or queen or whatever it was, right? And like they were like, oh no, we changed our policies, like you're fighting a big fish monster. I thought that was really entertaining.
Yeah. Also, the like just looks of all these aliens, like there's so many fucking aliens, and like it's cool. Like normally you see like, oh, there's like three archetypes they stick with. Here it's like episode to episode, we're dealing with completely different looking creatures with completely different looking like color schemes, but like it doesn't feel like too much. I don't know how the show can be so successful at not overwhelming, even though it is the most overwhelming thing ever. Like there is so much in this, so many characters with weird names that are kind of like names we know from other superheroes, but they're not. But there's just something about it that like it feels like it never loses its path. It feels like it always knows what it's saying. And it's just like, just fucking trust us. Just fucking trust us. And I'm like, I do. I really do.
Yeah. One complaint that I will have about all of the different superheroes, and this is mainly about season one, going back and rewatching that, I do not vibe with a lot of the different costume designs for a lot of the different guardians that eventually kind of die immediately. They just all look like... what's that one superhero MMO where you just you can go to like
City Heroes?
You just make a little creative.
So you're not talking shit about DC Universe Online, I know.
No, yeah, they really kind of just felt like uninspired in some ways, and maybe it's just because they die immediately, so who cares? But looking back at that, I haven't really had that feeling in season two though, luckily. But yeah, that's one of my little nitpicks from season one. If y'all haven't seen season one,
I mean, to the overwhelming nature of it, like jumping into season two, there were moments where I had to remind myself, like, you know, when we first see Immortal, I'm like, all right, who is he again? What's his superpowers and what's his relationship to Mark? And then like very quickly in, I'm like, oh yeah, he's this guy. And same with Alan, where I was like, oh, is Alan the same guy who met him on the moon or whatever it was? And then like more he talks, I'm like, oh yeah, that's that guy. I like that guy. Right, cool.
Remember, he was sent to the wrong planet.
Dude,
he went to the wrong planet.
Yeah, you're on Earth. Like, it's so freaking funny.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, the narration kind of recapping that for you also like helps out a lot.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
having a great time. We have one episode left. Really excited because, yeah, Robert Kirkman has been hyping up the finale of part one of season two and the finale of season two part two, which still doesn't have an official date, but we'll be getting four more episodes sometime in 2024.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say that might actually be one of my few complaints is that, like, man, I needed more than four episodes. Like, yeah. This was too quick.
I don't know why I didn't know that.
And I don't feel like waiting for this thing. I know it's a nice like complaint to have, but it's like,
check out the Adam Eve special. It might as well just be an episode.
Yeah. Right. I legitimately just thought it was an episode of the show.
Yeah, and it's just as good. And yeah, like, and you were talking about the animation quality, like, man, compared to season one, it is such a step up. It is still the same art style, and I feel like I'm with you that sometimes it's a little bit, especially comparing it to Scott Pilgrim, which is like so stylized and dialed in. This is kind of like a little bit more simple, but like
it reminds me of any of like the DC animated properties, which still like look good. I just kind of wanted a bit more, like when your favorite cartoon gets a movie made of it and it just jumps up in production. That's what I was kind of hoping to see, like suddenly this look where everything's got highlights and multiple levels of shadows and stuff. And a lot of that goes to budget, and that's why, as great as this cast is, I'm just like, do we need all these celebrities?
I like that it has a style.
We put some of that budget towards, you know.
Yeah, my thing is, like, I'm happy with it because, like, it. I feel like if it was that, it would be a more traditional animated feature, or animated, not feature, but animated thing, which means it wouldn't be 8 50-minute episodes
right.
of a drama. Mm-hmm. It would be a bunch of 20-minute episodes, and, like, it would take literally forever.
Right. For me, I feel like the art style gives me Saturday morning cartoon vibes in a way that I appreciate.
Yeah.
Like, there's something nice about how simple it is for me, where I kind of dig it. And when you get into the, like, the big action moments, it is almost like, oh shit, like, this has the stuff, right? Like, the art style might be a bit like, okay, cool,
they've got the movement,
but man, when they get into the movement, it's like, no, this is fine, like, I like,
yeah,
this.
There's a momentum to the editing of the animation and the fight scenes that, like, we saw a lot in, like, the finale of season one, but I feel like every episode this season's had at least a couple minutes of, like, the, oh, all right, this is where they're putting, like, the effort in. But what I appreciate about season two the most in terms of a jump of quality is season one had so many scenes that are just people talking, and there was nothing on the screen moving. It was just like maybe just like their mouths, but like otherwise like their faces are just there. No background elements moving at all. I feel like this season's kind of solved that problem. Like, there's always something going on, and like there's just a lot more texture,
aliveness
to it all. And yeah, it feel like it never sits on something long enough for me to just be like, there's not enough budget here. Mm-hmm. Now I'm just kind of like, oh shit, like, what's happening next? Like, enthralled with the whole story. Any closing words on Invincible season two, episodes 1 through 3?
Can't wait for more.
Can't.
Episode 4 is this week, yeah?
Oh yeah.
And then how long's the gap between?
We don't know yet, but okay. 2024, early 2024 is what they said, but okay, then in recent times they've just been saying 2024, so.
Episode 4, Thanksgiving night.
Yeah.
That's kind of a weird one.
That is weird.
Watch it with your family.
That is, exactly.
Put it on no context.
Let us know in the comments below what you're thinking about Invincible Season 2. If you're not watching it, watch it. It is so, so damn good. We do not deserve shows like this. Although maybe we do.
We do.
We do.
Yeah. Go watch Scott Pilgrim also.
Go watch Scott Pilgrim. Go watch Gen V. Watch it all. Don't watch Suits. Bye.